This is Breakfast.
This is Breakfast.
On ABC Radio Sydney.
And thanks for joining us on this Friday morning. It's lovely to have your company. It is the final brekkie show for us too. This morning, so thanks for joining us.
And thank you via text this morning, Robin. She's listening to us on the Central Coast via the app. Thanks and Merry Christmas to you too. Thank you, Robin. And I love this one. We were talking about Revertigo a little earlier, and we're going to have a psychologist, Claire Mann, on with us and very shortly to talk about this particular condition that perhaps we all have to some degree, associative regression. When you get... When you go back and associate with people from your past and you fall into those old patterns and you end up squabbling.
You know, there's a really great example in music just recently. A few years ago, the members of Roxy Music got together with the thought that they might make a new Roxy Music album. And Brian Eno wrote about it afterwards. He said, we all got in the studio. This is 45 years after they recorded their first album together. And he said... We couldn't come out with a Roxy Music album because we ended up doing exactly what you're talking about. We ended up falling back into the exact same relationships that we had in that studio 45 years ago. And in the end, we all liked each other, but we just couldn't work with each other anymore. And it just became a Brian Ferry album.
Yeah, I love this one. This is from Elizabeth in Lake Macquarie. Hi, you two. Even if she lives to be 100, I will always be my sister's younger sister. And I'm only 3 years younger than her, and I'm not even the youngest. So
that's pretty much sums it up, doesn't it?
You can just hear it there, can't you?
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about this, shall we, with somebody?
Revertigo, because I think a lot of people are saying, is this a real thing? Well, Claire Mann is a psychologist and she is with us this morning and has written quite a lot about this. Hello, Claire.
Good morning to you. We're here again at this time of year, Wendy.
We are. And, I mean, I think this is a really a good little bit of information to have in your kick as you head off for the Christmas holidays, because you don't have to fall into these bad patterns if they're bad in your house. So tell us what Revertigo is to begin with.
Well, it's a humorous term that is given to the tendency of otherwise logical, rational adults that function well in everyday life, reverting to childlike behaviour that was what was happening in the family when they were children and fell over the step when they were three. And it happens in that family context at Christmas.
And as I guess Robbie was saying there too, I mean maybe an old band or something like that could come into the could come into that same category. So why do we do this?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? We think we're rational and logical, but we've got all these expectations and we're coming to Christmas. We think it's going to be different this year. We've put off the holiday that we wanted to go to abroad, but we're really going to spend time with the family. But at an unconscious level, all our buttons get pressed. You said it a moment ago, Wendy. Buttons, what we call triggers, and these unconscious counter-intentions sort of come to the fore, and then we almost can't stop ourselves. And it's sort of, we find it through things like sarcasm, those backhanded comments. You know, this is typical of what you normally do. You did this last year. And, of course, when alcohol's flowing, it seems to get worse.
But it can careen out of control very quickly, can't it? It's almost like it doesn't require very much momentum for it to start to go downhill.
You're absolutely right. And neuroscience is telling us something important about this. There are things that happen in the brain that almost make it physiologically impossible to see the other person's point of view or to literally galvanize good enough words to even ask questions. What do you mean? Have I got the wrong end of the stick? It's called the blue and the red zone. So the red zone, aptly named, of course, is when our blood flows to the back of the brain. We go into fight and flight. We fall into the old patterns. When the blood is at the front of the brain, which is what we've got to prepare for this year, we are more able to see the other person's point of view. We access our thinking and logical. But is that going to happen when you've had a lot of alcohol?
I guess the point being that our personalities are very much shaped, you know, they're nurtured in these situations where we're having to deal with these people in this little crucible. And so, these neural pathways are formed, I guess, Claire. Is that what we're talking about?
You're absolutely right. I think, you know, what we call cellular memory, our body remembers it. Now, think back to what happened in Christmas, but at other times, this time of year. If you think about an incident that happened when everyone fell out, or a particularly nice association, you will kind of feel it a bit in your body as well. This anxiety, is it going to happen again? Or, oh, can we make it as good as we did last year? Mm. Our body remembers, and the associated either happy hormones of serotonin, dopamine, and oxytocin, trust and hope and that sort of thing come into play, or the adrenaline and cortisol, which is our stress hormones. But it as you say, it's set it up very early on, because there was a time when we were children, we were less powerful. We were told, you know, what to eat, for instance, to sit at the table. No, you can't go down yet. Don't annoy your brother. And these sort of indoctrinations in the parents we're trying to do the right thing here, but we regress back into those things. We just feel plain awful, and we don't realise it's a button being pressed.
All right. Well, if this is triggering a few memories for you this morning, maybe give us a call and let us know what your own experiences are.
I would like to know. I would like to hear the stupidest fight that you ever had as an adult over something at home. I remember, Claire, I had a difficult time with I had a stepmother for quite a while. I remember once driving all the way to her house about 5 hours. I went to where my dad was and my dad and my stepmother were. I walked in that room. We had a fight that we had for years and years and years. I stayed half an hour and I drove the 5 hours back home again. It was just impossible. Couldn't be done. But you reckon there are a few ways to avoid all this.
You're absolutely right. I mean, we are great storytellers. We sort of embed those little stories, what we call sedimented beliefs, and then we can't even see another way. But, you know, we do actually have choice. And I think we forget this sometimes. And when we realize that we can choose beforehand to educate our families, to educate ourselves on how can we do this differently, but also don't feel you have to go back into the family romance, as Freud says, and do it as you always did, or do what other people's expectations are. Plan before to take some time out. Do we need to spend 15 hours in the same room, you know, with other people, from, you know, having a glass of champagne in the morning to Christmas cake in the evening? We can choose to do something a little differently. Maybe you arrive a little later. Maybe you take some time out. Maybe you suggest to other people, you know, let's go by the sea and have a walk. And some people resist that, but we do have choice. So that's the first element of it.
And is there a need for us to step back a little bit from some of these precipices that we've been on for a while? I mean, does it help to apologise for past events? What's the best approach when it comes to knowing that you've got a thorny topic between the two of you?
Well, if you're in the fight or flight, it's very difficult to do that because you'll be reactive. So let's prepare for it before. You know, use words like we. You know, hey, look, can we just have a bit of a chat about what happened last year? Well, you know, both of us, we had our buttons pressed. What can we do to make this different? So I think, you know, we can plan for that. But I tell you something that's happened this year is we've got a whole new advent of pressing buttons. We're told as children, you know, what to eat, and it's good for you. Eat up your Brussels sprouts. We can then go back as adults. We've got something different. As veganism is growing, an increasing number of people are coming to see me and saying, I've got a real problem now. I've just suddenly, you know, been watching the Animals Australia stuff on TV. I found out where my turkey or my chicken comes from. I don't want to do it. So now this person who goes back as an adult into the family is really upsetting the apple cart. You know, and they're saying, no, you need to listen to this. Unless we change this and be informed, that we're going to have a problem.
Oh, well, sounds like some very interesting conversations happening at Christmas time. Nick, good morning.
Good morning.
You're an American expat, are you?
I am. I've lived here for 40 years. And my experience with going back to family has been highlighted in this conversation because the way I've realized it is over the years of going back, I realized that that term or that phrase, familiarity breeds contempt, is all about families. Yeah. You know each other so well that you only have to enter a room and you know what everyone is thinking because you know them so well. No one has to say anything and you can already be offside. And that has to change because you have to grow up. You have to stop being infantilized by the behaviors from 50 years ago.
So how did you do that?
Well, it took a few trips going back for me to realize, why am I falling into this? And it's because I allowed the triggers to set me off, and then I would respond in kind. All I did was realize I'm not that person anymore. So when my mother complains to me about, how long did you spend in the shower today, Nick? When I was 15, maybe I did spend a lot of time in the shower for whatever reasons. But The point being is I don't have to respond to that like a 15-year-old. I'm a 50-year-old, you know, so I can go ahead and say, oh, well, no, Mom, I actually, you know, in Australia we try and save water, so I have, you know, I'll have a nice, a good, proper shower, but it only takes me about 3-5 minutes, and I can be, you know, well-cleaned and everything. And she, you know, and they stop and look at you and realize, oh, okay. Oh, well, that didn't work.
He's not 15 anymore. That's actually 50.
That's it. He's not 15. Well, I'm older than that now. But that's when I realized I don't have to be that 15-year-old anymore. And they have to realize that I'm not that 15-year-old anymore. So basically all it is you have to grow up in your relationships with your family the way you do with your friends and people you're meeting for the first time.
Well, thank you very much for that, Nick. That is a very good point is there. Thank you. And we'll go back to our psychologist, Claire Mann. Nick is on the right path, Claire.
Nick, he said something really great. And we have to grow up. We have to do that. But there's going to be a certain amount of anxiety when that comes up because your mother-in-law might look at you and that sort of raised eyebrows sort of go up. When we don't actually experience other people, we experience our feelings, thoughts, and actions about them.
Uh-huh.
Just think about that for a moment.
Yep, that's a good thought. Yep.
It's a great point. So when we can handle that anxiety and realize when you've been doing something wrong for a while, doing it right is going to feel wrong, you can start to change that and know that that will pass.
You know that sitting here listening to that, Claire, that makes perfect sense. And I'm thinking that's exactly what I'm going to take to the Christmas day. And then I know when we get to Christmas Day, it's going to be a little different, but we'll do our best.
Thank you for that, Claire. You're wonderful too. Thank you so much.
There is Claire Mann, a psychologist. And there's a term for revertigo, isn't there? There's actually a clinical term for it.
Associative regression.
There you go.
I've got to tell you though. See, this is where immediately I've been triggered. Donna says, Wendy, you were talking about Monopoly. I noticed there is a cheats version on sale for Christmas. You would go spare. So I looked at this Monopoly set. And it says a recent study conducted by Hasbro revealed that nearly half of game players attempt to cheat during Monopoly. So in 2018, we decided it was time to give fans what they've been craving all along. Now, this is a Monopoly game that encourages cheating. And I was reading what you're allowed to do in this game. Well, you're allowed to steal money from the bank. You're able to sort of lie, skip spaces, avoid paying rent. And I can just feel my blood pressure. going up because when we play Monopoly, I'm always the one with the rule book.
It's a metaphor for the times, isn't it? Really.
It is, but, you know, that's my trigger, maybe. Playing Monopoly with my brothers and sisters, gosh.